Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You heard the text read a short time ago. That is 2 Corinthians 2:14-3:6. These words stated there is a grand, those words are a grand and heart-stirring theme, a theme of triumph and of gospel joy. This morning, for a few minutes, I want to take up this topic of the life-giving gospel of Christ and join with St. Paul in giving thanks for the ministry of the gospel. And in doing so, I will use this rope, which I have here, for some object lessons. The gospel of life in Christ is not loved and treasured by everyone. It is offensive to those who are perishing. Those who are saved regard the gospel of life and the message of grace toward sinners as a sweet fragrance, a gift that is loaded with good-smelling incense, and as a source of life. But to those who think otherwise, the message and those who proclaim it are a smell and stench of death, a dying, decayed tradition full of false and unhealthy ideas. To them, the Holy Gospel, with all of its life, seems like a rotting corpse to be avoided as much as possible. Grace is for sinners. And the thought of being a sinner is not pleasant or welcome. It's easy to understand why one of the humanist manifestos declares, "I believe that there are no such things as sin to be forgiven." As the Gospel of John put it a long time ago, light has come into the world, and men love darkness more than the light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone that does evil hates the light and will not come into the light lest his deeds be exposed. This rope makes me think of something that both unbelievers and believers, with all of our weaknesses, need to be warned about. That is the danger of an impenitent attitude, the danger of hiding the truth, even a part of the truth about ourselves, instead of confessing it and trusting in Christ for pardon. It reminds me of the man who came to his neighbor with an old rope and said, "A number of years ago, I stole this rope from you. Will you forgive me?" What he didn't say was that when he had taken the rope, there had been a cowl at the end of it. That he covered up. And this is suppressing and abusing the conscience. It's the beginning of the hardening of the heart, like Pharaoh, hardening against God and his word. And for those that perish, it ultimately becomes true that the gospel of life becomes an odor unto death, in the sense that he that does not believe on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. But the gospel is an odor of life to those who are saved. It proclaims forgiveness, hope, and eternal life to sinners. That is, to sinners who are troubled by their shameful thoughts and deeds, who are troubled and perplexed by their feelings of helplessness and their spiritual confusion. What those who are perishing find repugnant, we find comforting, encouraging, reviving. Mrs. O'Hare, the prominent atheist, has said that Christianity is for those who can't make it on their own. This offense to Mrs. O'Hare is just what is so precious to us in the gospel. That is the continuing compassion and mercy of God toward us, and the invitation to trust in him and to ask him for help, even though we are convinced that we are undeserving sinners. We know that Christ is our hope, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not counting their sins against them. This is, to use an illustration with a rope again, this is strikingly illustrated in an old picture of the crucifixion. That picture shows Adam, mankind, tied to Christ on the cross with a rope. And that means, pictorially, in image, that Christ died in behalf of us sinners. Since we are reconciled to God by the death of his Son, we are forgiven for Jesus' sake. We have access to him in prayer for Jesus' sake. We look for goodness and mercy all the days of our life for Jesus' sake. This is indeed a faith for those who can't make it on their own. Paul couldn't. He knew that he was what he was purely by the grace of God. He knew that he had received mercy even though he was the chief of sinners, an A number one transgressor. And he knew that he did not have sufficiency or ability for his life's work of preaching and teaching God's great word, but that God gave him all that he needed for this, for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake, we find grace to help in time of need. We find grace and help for our work and ministry and for what we encounter in life. This multipurpose rope is a symbol also of this hope that we have in Christ. There was a man who had a rope like this with a knot at the end hanging on his bedroom wall. And he used to love to bring people into that bedroom and show them that rope and tell his story, which went like this. One time I was overwhelmed by my trouble. I'd lost my job. I was sick. And I thought I really had nothing left to live for. And then I began thinking about God's promises. That is, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. The Lord is thy helper. He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So I hung this rope up where I could see it every morning.